Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, welcome, Amy, aka Mama.
welcome, Harry, aka Bama. See what I did there?
And Idris as well.
And Idris,
seems,
hello.
He seems to have made
Get that
appearance.
Thumb out of your mouth.
Oh, the thumb.
And Idris and Mama.
Yes. Aww. Mum and Idris and Mama.
Oh, he does give him cuddles.
Yeah, but that thumb is going to make him look like Bugs Bunny.
It's got to come out, bruv.
All right, bye. Toodaloo, I'll see you in a bit.
Cool, blimey. So,
blimey, gov.
How's the first day of the summer holidays?
Well, Idris Bernard has been in a holiday club today.
So you've had a good day.
I've just been working.
Yeah.
So it's not actually, I haven't actually enjoyed anything. But it was nice to be able to concentrate on work.
Yes.
Like give a whole day to work and just like, you know, you remember things and think, oh, sugar, I haven't remembered to email that one. And I've just been going through making sure I've done everything I'm supposed to do. So, yeah, it's
that's
nice.
Good.
Yeah.
And you don't feel guilty that you're not doing stuff with them because it's
no
yeah
and like we had you guys around on Friday and he just loved it and he on the Saturday I think he felt just very lonely so it is really nice for him to just like be with other kids
it's hard for them to be without their friends during this time then obviously the summer holidays.
How was your first day?
It was good. I worked this morning. I spent an hour live chatting with a phone company for a lady that I PA for because she's got a new phone. She can't send text messages. It took me half an hour to clear the security checks, not because I couldn't pass them, just because that's how long it took for them to ask me the two questions.
Then
another half an hour for me to tell them what the problem was and for them to respond with, okay, we'll get the team to look into it. After asking me a couple of like checking questions, I'm like, I can't believe this has taken an hour. It's a real simple issue. She's got a new phone. It's not sending text messages. It's not the phone. It's not her. It's got to be something with the account. Do you know what I mean?
Your life 1 hour. Your life is so interesting and exciting, Amy.
But it's like,
we had 1,000 viewers log on then, and then when you started talking about phones and an hour, we're now down to 19.
My exciting job. But then I did go to the park. I took the kids to the park, so that was nice. Because it's the first day, isn't it? First day of summer holidays.
I know, but it all just feels like one.
It does.
It just feels like rolled into one.
It really does. But we've got a very exciting podcast today with well-being, mindfulness and well-being yoga type person.
Yoga.
Who would just make you feel so much better after listening to her.
Oh, I love little Hannah. She's an
lovely
angel.
She's got
a gorgeous son, Hudson. She's a She's a real little gem, I'd describe our Hannah. She's got many talents as well, which is it's quite nice to meet somebody. Because I've met her through my other friend, Nikki. And, yeah, she's just somebody that when you see her, you light up because she's just that kind of person. She's got a really good aura.
She has got a very good aura. Good energy.
Good energy. She's a tree hugger.
Yeah.
She likes to feel the earth with her feet.
Yeah.
She's just very connected. So yes. I like that. We like that, don't we, Amy?
We like that, yeah. One love.
One love. And she loves a bit of wine. Oh, Hannah. not on the job, I might say, but you know.
All drunk time. Yoga.
Can you imagine?
That'd be fun.
I bet they do drunk yoga.
It'd be very dangerous. Because you'd just think, fuck it, and go for it, and really hurt yourself. But it would be quite funny.
Yeah, because I do that. When I'm drunk, I always, like, for some reason, I always want to show people I could do the splits.
I've got a very good friend called Kelly, who every single time we went out, she'd always end up doing the splits on the dance floor. Every time. Like... Every single time.
I don't know why either. I think we feel really proud that we can still do it.
To be honest, if I could do the fucking splits, I'd probably do them every time I went out.
Yeah. I know. I'll show
it's
you next
understandable.
Time.
Understandable. Even on her wedding night, it was like we were all waiting and she did it in her wedding dress.
Oh, yep. Well done, Kelly.
Yep.
Well
Big up,
done.
Kelly.
Good. Oh, we love that. I love that. Yeah. I love hearing that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Yes, this is all about Hannah and her story, really. She's a local mum. She's somebody that I know. She's started in yoga and sort of having that caring background. And she's moving into some really exciting sort of industries. And
yes,
it's amazing to hear her story. And we are really excited to have her on.
And there's a little meditation at the end for you as well, which was very nice. But yeah, enjoy.
Enjoy.
Toodaloo.
Bye.
Work.
Right, well, welcome to our Mum and a Mama podcast. This is the lovely...
Amy
Ballman. And I'm Anne Harrow Chapman, Harry for short. So today we've got a really special guest on, haven't we?
We have. I'm very excited.
I'm very excited because I know her very well and I've partied hard with this girl.
Woo!
Show off. Partied hard. And I've just followed her journey quite sort of a little bit like a stalker on Facebook and Instagram. And I'm really proud to call her my friend, actually.
Aww, thank you.
But this is the lovely Hannah.
Hey, guys.
And it's Hannah, it's Love Day, isn't it?
Yes.
Is that your real name?
I love it.
Do you know what? That Love Day is my mother's maiden name. So growing up, when my father and mother were divorced, I ended up having my stepfather's name, which was Savile. Right. Not a great name to have anymore after Jimmy Savile. But anyway, great, thanks. But we had a very difficult relationship, myself and my stepfather anyway. So when my mother passed away, I pretty quickly after that went, you know what? My company is called Yoga Love Day. Yeah. Love Day is such an apt name for well-being. Even though it sounds quite cheesy, it's authentic. Because Love Day was my best friend. The great late Joan Loveday. So literally she was my inspiration and she was the most present, most authentic, real woman I've ever met. So, you know, I was so close to her. So as a tribute to my mum and to Nanny Loveday, when mum passed, I went, you know what? No disrespect. Thank you for, you know, the name all these years. But yeah. I'm taking mum's maiden name, Loveday.
She just did the middle finger there.
Oh!
Saucy. In the first 5 minutes,
starts your mean to go on.
That's a sign of things to come. That is, Hannah. That is. So you're a local girl as well, aren't you?
Yes, born and bred in Essex, Chelmsford, Essex, but I've lived in Wanstead for 8 years now.
So you're
9 years, and I love Wanstead.
9 years, because this one's from Basildon.
Hi.
Fellow Essex girl. Okay. Yeah,
fellow Essex girl.
Not as nice as Chelmsford. I did go to that nightclub once. No, twice. What was the big nightclub?
Jukes.
Jukes.
The Jukes Experience. Yep.
What was it like?
Sticky carpet.
Oh,
yes. One of them ones. Yeah. White stilettos, very short mini skirts and very sticky carpets.
Yes.
Oh, my.
That sounds like me.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Thought I'd seen you there a couple of times.
On a Friday night.
Yeah.
So in terms of how you started, so just give us a flavour of, I guess how it all came about. You've been doing yoga for years, haven't you? Because when I do look at you, I do think, oh, I really wish, when I look at you do I think, oh, fuck, I wish I could do yoga.
But you can do yoga.
No, but it just balls me. I don't know why it balls me.
But that's because you've got to get into it.
Yeah, no, my mum loves yoga. Mm. But when I look at you, I do think, oh, wow, look at them legs. Look at them arms.
But I always stare at your booty, darling, so.
Oh, yeah.
My squats. We always want something we haven't got, don't we?
I know. Yeah. So tell us about the yoga story.
So I used to be a professional singer and dancer, travelling the world, and I went to stage school, and I did all of that ballet since I was knee-high to a grasshopper and everything, and was massively in the performing world. And then travelled and danced and got out there professionally, and then suddenly felt like, this isn't me anymore, this superficial, extroverted world. And then I went to India for nearly a year and found meditation and yoga. And I thought, right, I've got to get back to the UK after studying. I was there staying with my sister because she was working out there. And I then came back and got my UK qualification, started teaching, found that my niche was working with children with autism.
Yeah.
I'd already, when I was a dancer, I'd been teaching and doing drama with adults with mental health problems and learning disabilities and stuff. So I kind of went into that with the children's side and did some training. Mindfulness is obviously a branch of yoga, so did lots of that kind of training with the yoga. Mm. And then realised that after a few years, want to do something else, not just the yoga. And I was always doing little bits and pieces. Since ending as a dancer, I've always been doing a little bit here. I was an estate agent, and then I was doing teaching, and then did a teaching degree at Redbridge.
Oh, wow.
A few years ago, yeah, graduated, I think it was 2017, and I wanted to go into teaching at colleges. And then I kind of came away a little bit from that and went into the wellbeing, mindfulness kind of consultant stuff as a trainer within the corporate world. And that all came about, and when was that? That was probably 2018. I did a speaking role at a wellbeing event in the city. And it all kind of unraveled since then. It went from being a yoga teacher that did some mindfulness to being a mindfulness instructor as well within businesses.
So how did that all come about? Was it a relationship with somebody that you got into the corporate world, or did you have to go out and find something?
So my brother Adam, who's a journalist who used to be in the music industry, then became a journalist within Cover Magazine, which is an insurance online magazine.
Okay.
So he now influences insurance companies within mental health stuff as well. And because he'd been through addiction, he has then taken this mental health influence into the insurance industry. And it's brilliant what he's done. And he basically said, I'm holding a mental health forum. Do you want to come and speak? And I was like, yes, I would love to do that. So when I went up there, I was really speaking as a yoga teacher that has had experience in mindfulness and is now training adults with mental illness in mindfulness and stuff. And then suddenly, because of networking and because of talking to more people and doing a lot more training and research around it, I decided this is what I want to do now. I want to go into the corporate world, this chaotic, always-on environment, which is, you know, so under pressure, and mental health and well-being within that environment is overlooked. It's like you've got to stay longer, you've got to work harder, you've got to put everything else aside and give it your all. And then, you know, you're getting burnout, you're getting depression, you're getting suicide. And so I just thought, right, I need to create some courses. And after I'd done this teaching, it was called it wasn't a degree, it was a degree level. It was a BTEC in education and training. And even though it didn't get me into schools like I thought it might, it got me into learning how to put together these big training packages and presentations and all that kind of stuff. So that's life, isn't it? You think you're doing one thing because of a particular reason, and then it takes you to another door that opens. That really kind of put me in good stead to be able to create these. And because I'd been doing lesson plans for years, because I'd been teaching for years within education, so I created these four different courses. And through some people that I knew, we had architecture, we had recruitment, insurance. I started going into these companies and offering these well-being packages for staff. And then it's just progressed since then. And I've done more. I was at a mental health summit speaking about mindfulness in the workplace. That was just before lockdown. That luckily went ahead because it was just about to go into lockdown in March. And it's just kind of escalated from then. So I've been working with big companies like CBI, the Confederation of British Industry, and media companies, and doing all these courses that I created from scratch online. So that was the challenging bit, because I am so backwards when it comes to tech. honestly, so you don't think it was panic mode. I was really drawing in all the mindfulness stuff. I was like, this is going to be okay. Get it all on. Because I was thinking, how is it going to work? You know, when you've got someone there, it's different, isn't it? The energy, the body language, just the eye contact. But well-being is obviously.
You also kind of shit yourself as well, because you're in this position, and then you, because like I've done like some Teams presentations, and you think, oh well, I won't get nervous because it's like everybody's online, it's fine. And then you hit the button, and you think, shit, I don't feel like if I could do it. I don't think I could do it. And then your heart starts beating. And then your voice starts going. And then you get into the rhythm of it. And then all of a sudden something can happen. Like, I don't know, technical. Like, I don't know, your connection goes, or some sounds outside. Or you sneeze. Sneeze. And then it just throws you off. And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, this is just not happening. So it is really different from being on a stage, which is also, I mean, for a performer, it's, you know, it's easy, isn't it? You just jump on and it's the adrenaline that gets you going. But on the technical side, I shit myself every time.
No, definitely. And when I did the I had to change computers because I was so obsessed with making sure that when I started them on lockdown, everyone could see me and I could see everyone. And I almost sold these courses a little bit in the way that it's a shared experience. You know, there's a lot of recorded online wellbeing, but I'm going to be there and they can see each other. And this is really... And then the first one I did with, you know, 16, 17 people on there, not one of them put their video on. So my heart was like, hi, guys. And all I could see is me in the corner and my slides for 2 hours. And all my little bits of banter that usually worked from my little dudum moments of... it was just me going, oh, tumbleweed, are you there? You know, it was really intimidating. I was like, getting a panic on.
Oh, my God. You've got to insist that the cameras are on.
Why didn't they put their cameras on?
Well, you have to be bossy, don't you? You have, because my friend said, you should have told them. Come on, guys, we're going to... But the person that I'd actually arranged this with through HR, when she didn't do that, and then someone made a comment about, oh, it's great, because, you know, we can just sit here how we want. There's not that pressure of having to be, and, yeah... It was funny. There's no engagement. You've got that little inner voice saying to yourself, no, this is going well. It's fine. It's all going well. You know, you can't, you're not getting any response at all, but have that inner belief that they're all enjoying it.
So we did one, but I secretly told people they had to wear something and reveal what they were wearing on their cameras.
Right.
So I gave them each a theme that I knew that they would have. So you had one guy was like obsessed with football. So I said something related with football. Somebody was like a dancer, so did that. Then we did something like for a baker. And then they all put their cameras on. And there was somebody in a Spurs t-shirt, football t-shirt, of somebody in an apron. But it was...
Oh, that's cute.
It was kind of... It's a nice thing to break the ice.
Absolutely.
Just a little laugh.
Yeah. As long as you didn't get someone to wear a bikini or something. Everyone's wearing bikinis.
That would be Amy. With their little fried eggs. So you've got a little one, Hudson, as well, haven't you?
Not so little, yeah. So he's eight, and he is an absolute blessing, as all children are. But he's just, he's like a best friend. He's like a little confidant. He's an advisor. And if he says something, you know when you think that the kid's always wrong, like, no, come, give it. And then even other people have gone, no, if Hudson thinks that's right, then that's right. You know, he's that kind of, he's like a little wise soul. He's amazing.
I know. I've seen him online doing the yoga. I'll have to show you. All wicked. How has he been through lockdown?
He has been incredible. He's obviously got on my nerves. He's obviously got, you know, wound me up at times when I'm thinking, you're not even being that annoying, but it's just the nature of the lockdown, isn't it? It's just, everybody's got, it's brought the best out of you, but it's also brought the worst out in you. And it's, but he, in the first 6 weeks, I went into, you know, you've got to do your homework and I want to be really strict with it, but I need to get this gig going because I've just got this gig that I wanted with this company and I've wanted it for 8 months. And now we're in lockdown, they've signed it up. I'm charging more than I've ever charged. It's got to be slick. It was the first time I'd got them on, but it really was so important that I got it right. And he really had to get on with it a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, for 2 hours, you can't interrupt me, Huds. And he was so, so patient. I was so proud of him. Yeah, so he's been really, really good. And he's really grown up. As I say, he was kind of going into this new stage of asking all these different questions. And it's like, is this really happening? That he's the, you know, he's only eight, but you have to educate and you have to... make sure that things aren't taboo and you have to be real with it, don't you, and open them.
Yeah.
And I blame it all on Hermione Granger, his crush. she's propelled him into this next stage.
There's worse crushes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So does he like being your sidekick in yoga then?
Oh, he loves it. He calls me the hippie and, you know, he loves getting involved. I've been making him put his feet on the ground and doing earthing and getting the electrons from the earth. You know, we take nature for granted, don't we? And I'm saying to him, you don't understand the radiation. You know, we don't know how harmful it is. If you want to get on that Nintendo Switch or watch that movie, bare feet on the grass. And he's like, oh, Mum, I got you. Why are you such a hippie? But he does it. And I know he listens because you know what they're like. They take it all in, don't they, kids?
Oh, that's amazing. But how often does he do yoga? Does he do it every day?
So he'll do some yoga with me. And he sometimes if he can't sleep, he'll do his meditations. And you know, the pinnacle, the moment, the best moment I've had as a parent was the other day when, I mean, I was annoying myself with my whiny voice. Hudson, your room's so messy. You know, when you get into it ever. And then he just looked at me in the bedroom and he just kind of looked at me and went, Mum. And then he just kind of nodded his head to the side to say, just get out of the room. And I kind of went, what, you want me to leave the room? He went, yeah. So I walked out the room. And as I walked out the room, I kind of peeked through the... And he hopped on top of the bed and sat with his finger thumb mudra with his legs crossed. And he just went... And he took three deep breaths. And then he got back on with his tidy. And he went, Mum, you can come back in now.
Oh,
I'd honestly,
oh my God.
Because they're resistant, aren't they, with a lot of the stuff you advise them with.
Yeah.
And he takes the mickey out. And then that one point, I said to him, did you do some deep breaths? I heard as I was leaving the room. He said, yeah, yeah. I just got my emotions down. And I just thought, oh, you little star. You know, if you
so he's been listening then.
Yep. Taking it in.
Taking it all in.
And that will do him such good in future life, won't it? To have that.
Take that beat, take that break and just go, I'm going to breathe.
And Mum, piss off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Piss off.
Yeah. Yeah,
no. Really to calmly say that to someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. It was a proud moment. And as you say, the older he gets, he will be, Mum, can you just F off out the room now? But the way he just did his little head nod.
Yeah.
You want me to leave?
So is it just the two of you at home?
So it's just the two of us. And it's been just the two of us kind of, just before he was born. So his father and I were past relationship and then broke up during pregnancy. Because as I was pregnant, we thought, oh, let's give it a go. But it didn't work. And we're just so much better off as friends. And I've got so much love for the man.
That's nice.
But just couldn't work in a relationship. But he's a fantastic dad. Hudson idolises him. Yeah, so it works well. And there hasn't been many, you know, I've had like one-year relationship in 8 years and a couple of months here and there, but nothing that's ever been, you know, long-term.
Yeah, so it's just you and Hudson.
Yeah.
So tell us about these sessions then. Because obviously we want to try and promote this out as well, as much as we can. What can the corporate world expect from Hannah Loveday?
Well, Lovejoy, I know. There was that programme, wasn't there? That cheesy
one. Yeah. Oh, I loved that.
I thought that was my dad for a long time because my mum knew him.
Oh, beautiful eyes.
You'd have been I wished dad. He was my dad.
I mean, my approach is that I want it to be insightful. I want it to be engaging. You know, I want to be a warm, positive influence that opens up people to mental health without thinking that, you know, if you expose that you're having mental health problems during your lifetime, that something's drastically wrong with you and that you need to be ashamed. You know, it's not weak, it's not weird, it's not wrong to be open about mental well-being. And I think the corporate world has neglected well-being for many, many years. And I mean, you've got people taking cocaine every day just to get in the office and be able to feel like they're on point. People working out over hours, over time, and that's not everywhere in every industry, but I think there's a lot going on where the pressure is so intense. And for companies now to know that, you know, a healthy, happy workforce means that a business can thrive, and it's looking at the business holistically as a whole and remembering that each individual within that, it's like a, you know, it's like a breathing, living thing, isn't it, a business? And if you take care of it, as you would an individual, with all the different layers that individuals have and all the different needs that they have, then businesses will be more successful. You won't get the burnout. Yeah. You won't get the absenteeism, the presenteeism, you know, people being in but not really being mentally or physically well enough to be there. And I think companies they've been opening up and awakening to this for a while, and mental health was really shooting up the agenda. And then now, I mean, bam, companies are like, okay, number one, we need to have a mental health, employee well-being strategy in place. It's not just something that's good to have and be able to tick off. It's a must-have now because if anything, if COVID-19 has taught us anything, it's that you need self-care. You need, regardless of whether you're in the corporate world or not, you need to look after your mental health because challenges do not discriminate. They'll come for all of us no matter what. Yeah. And if you ask a room of people, you know, big or small, to stand up if they've gone through you know, losing someone through cancer or having cancer themselves or mental health problems or abortion or miscarriage or relationship breakdown or financial strain, it's like there'll be no one left sitting, and that's just life, isn't it? So you need, I think you just need, companies need to let their employees know that they're looked after and they're valued and that they'll provide them with tools, because, you know, we spend so much time at work, don't we?
Yeah.
And if your employees can help, then it's people can open up.
Yeah.
And say, but
the
I need
more
help.
You're appreciated as an employee, the harder you work. Like, if you are allowed to work from home, you work harder.
Yeah.
Because you want to prove that you're doing it.
Yeah.
And, definitely. You're appreciative as well. And I think that one of the good things about this whole lockdown experience will show that people can work from home productively.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully people will be able to be parents and workers and you won't have to separate the two.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah, you're right. That will really help people to balance that, like, work-life balance. Because there was someone from the Mental Health First Aid Company, and she was doing speaking at the Mental Health Summit recently, and she was saying about, you know, it shouldn't be this work-life balance. It should be work-life integration. You know, you should be able to, you know, that whole kind of opinion of leave your work life at home. You don't bring your you don't bring your personal life into work. Yeah. So how can we do that if we're going to really be authentic and be true to ourselves? And because work, personal lives do come in. If you try and get back into work when you're going through something painful and detrimental to your well-being, if you come in and put a mask on and fake it, you're going to be suffering, you know, and in the long term, it's going to be worse, isn't it?
Yeah. And stress levels as well. I mean, we just had a stress audit at work, and it was quite useful, actually, just to touch base, you know, because I've been doing this community response for Haringey, to touch base with how I felt, and obviously having Idris as well. Mm. You don't realise how stressful it really is.
Yeah.
And then you stop, and then your whole kind of, I always say it's like your work life, it all bleeds into one another if you're not careful. Mm. It does seem, you do have to have some separation in order to deal with, I don't know, whatever happens in the day.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people have unrealistic expectations of how we can perform.
Definitely.
Yeah, we're not computers. Mm. We're not, you know, we go through, I sometimes sit there and look at my computer and think, how did I get this job? No, I can't do any more. I just can't do any more.
Definitely.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm lost. It's hard to find your way back. But what one thing's come back from this audit is that sometimes as a team we don't all support each other enough. So we support each other, but we don't do it as frequently as we should. Mm. And we don't touch base with each other as much as we should. And it's come back apparently from all of us. It wasn't just one person that said it. So that peer-to-peer support network really helps.
Yeah.
Which I honestly didn't. I mean, you do it, don't you? Just do it.
Mm.
Because you do it. Like, I always have a chat with my mates at work.
Mm. Yeah.
And
all touch us.
That's not all I do. but then you don't realise how much value people get out of it. They don't always want to go to their manager or somebody in authority. They might want to go to somebody in another department or their mates that they know will know.
Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, that's quite... I was quite surprised about that.
Because saying to someone, how are you, you know, and really meaning it, it's you spend so much time with your work colleagues and for people to recognize signs or triggers and to know that, you know, just because somebody says they're all right, they might not be all right. So do you know what, you might have to ask that person more than that other person, because they might need to, you know, to really feel like you're saying to them, like, you know, I'm asking you if you want to be open, you can, I'm giving you permission, you know, that I'll listen. And you're so right, it's so important to have that support and that communication at work, isn't it?
So how do, so have you come up with anyone that's like resistant to the Hannah Loveday treatment?
No one. And I won't. No, joking.
Not one person.
Do you know what? So I'm going to be working with construction workers. I've had to do a lot of thinking around, well, this was just about to happen before lockdown and it's going to be happening again soon. But when you look at the construction industry, you've got, and this is generalising, this, you know, generalising here, but you've got men that, you know, so it's male-dominated. A lot of men are working on machinery for hours and hours on end.
Yeah.
And they might not even have a break with someone else. So you've got a lot of isolation in that way. Maybe some of these guys are away from home working on different projects and locations. Yeah. So they might not be with their families. A lot of men don't talk to each other about mental health. And it's frowned upon and it's weak.
Yeah.
Mental health, when you're struggling, a lot of these guys might be working with really dangerous machinery. Yeah. And if their concentration goes or they're mentally not stable, they could kill themselves or someone else. You know, so there's lots of different issues around mental health in construction. They have the highest amount of suicides in the construction industry. Yeah. So it's going to be, because, you know, you've got a group of guys and you're going to, I'm going to stand them up and I'm going to blindfold them and I'm going to tell them to start shaking like I always do. And, you know, you've got a group of guys that there's all this testosterone and macho, and they don't even want to put the blindfold on, let alone start shaking and shifting energy and maybe even end up in tears. And I'm getting them to do this, to change their vibrational frequency. And it's like, you know, I've seen guys, I mean, I've worked with estate agents and recruitment guys and people that are really like lads, and they're like, what are you talking about? And they're coming out like, I really want to get into meditation now. You know, I didn't think that standing and just shaking could make me feel so alive and present. And, you know, and it's, when you're talking about being present or you're talking about energies, and it's like alien, it's like a different language at first, isn't it? And then once you start understanding, all sorts of people can benefit. Well, everybody can benefit from being more mindful and present or calmer or just having the tools. So, yeah, the construction industry, I'm really looking forward to going into that.
God,
It'll be interesting to see the response.
It is. Mm. Oh my God! You'll have to let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
So if you've got somebody like me, right? You've got me, okay? You're confronted with me, and I've got a very busy mind. I don't concentrate for too long. I have tried meditation before, but I didn't know what I was doing, and I couldn't. I find it hard to shut off.
Mm.
How do you get somebody to sort of first take that step of doing it properly?
Well, it's
doing it properly.
Yeah, because if I'm doing one-to-ones, it'll almost be like a life coaching introduction.
Okay.
So you're looking at that person's life. You're looking at how hectic that person's life is, the responsibilities, the daily routines, and then you're looking at where that person wants to be. You know, I want to be more like this. I want my life to be a little bit more like this. And then you kind of go, right, what are the goals? How can we get to that? And what's realistic? And then you try and put little things in place. And I think the misconception with meditation is that it's a bit spiritual, it's a bit mystical, or it's not working, and, oh, I've got to sit there and do OMS, or I've got to put my fingers, or twist myself up like a contortionist. And it literally, sometimes I don't even like to use the word meditation or mindfulness much. I like to say this is training for your mind.
Yeah.
So we look after our cars, our pets, we look after our bodies physically, but we don't look after our mind enough, and we've neglected this for so long. And then we wonder why all these inflammatory diseases are around through stress, you know, and it's not just through stress, it's from disconnecting from nature, it's from a fast-paced life. But once you say to someone, all you need to do is have a self-care routine, and that could be walking mindfully. It could be sitting down with just some nice music, or just laying down with some nice music. You know, it doesn't have to be cross-legged on the floor. It's making it work for you.
Okay.
And also just the misconception that you're going to feel like you're levitating, or you're going to feel this euphoria, or you're going to be like, oh my God, I'm awakened, and after a couple of evenings of breathing. And it's not like that. It's training that is gradual, and trying to have that singular focus. You could even just be sitting and looking at a house plant for 10 minutes a day, and that would still your mind, that would increase your concentration. It would, but I think to live a more mindful life, the foundation and the grounding is the meditation. You can do lots of other things, but I think if you can just simply take 10 minutes every other day to start with, even twice a week, just to say, this time is for my mental well-being. And it might not feel like it. And it might even give me a headache the first few times. And it might not even do anything for a few months.
Mm.
But just the fact that you are giving yourself that 10 or 15 minutes or however long to cultivate self-care and mental well-being is so powerful in itself. It's like just doing, it's like just putting your feet on the earth with bare feet. And I keep going on about this at the moment because it's one of my new workshops. But I've done loads of research about absorbing the electrons and taking in this ATP molecule. And it's, you can bring inflammation down just in 10 minutes. You know, when we look at everything that's growing out of the earth, there's a reason for that. We're a living organism. We live and we grow and we breathe. And we're completely dependent on the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't we reconnect? You know, shoes are one of the most destructive inventions to man. We don't sleep on the floor or have our feet on the floor. Just little things like that might take you into more, to being more keen to do meditation. Because if you're just sat on the floor with your hands even on the floor, just relaxing for 10 minutes.
Yeah. How powerful is that? My mum makes me hug trees.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So it's so good for your endorphins. So good for you.
I've got pictures of mum hugging trees.
You're a hippie. You're a hippie at heart. You are.
I am. We're a hippie family, so you know, hugging a tree is normal.
Yeah. Actually, how can you not like yoga? Considering your mum, how can you not?
Yeah.
It's not that I don't like it. It's just I can't.
You've not had the right teacher.
Get in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because so many.
Hannah. Yeah.
That's it.
Hannah in my
life. Do you do classes?
Do you know what? I actually did one out the other day out on some open grass on the high street. And it was lovely. It was that really hot evening. And it's just, it's so nice doing it under the tree as well because it's like tree bathing. It still get all the goodness and the, I'll let you know. Tree bathing.
What do you do with that? Put your bathers on and rub up against it.
Not quite. But yeah, you should come. You should come. Because I remember when I came out of dancing and it was really, you know, cardio a lot of the time. And it was bam, 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 turn it. And then I did some yoga and I was like, nah, I'm really not into that. It's all really still and it's boring. It's just breathing. And then I went to another teacher that had us dripping. And I loved it. And it was more like, you know, holding plank and then going to down facing dog and then hopping in and then doing this. And then she'd kind of calm it down at the end and you'd get that stretch. And so there's so many different techniques, but it is finding the right one for you.
No, yeah. And I would like, because Idris is really good at it and he really enjoys it.
Yeah.
Because they did it in school.
Brilliant.
Which I, you know, in our school, there was no talk of yoga. You know, it was very traditional sports, but they don't even use it as a sport. They use it as...
It's mindfulness.
They do it 15 to 20 minutes. And they do it, I think it's on the... It's in at the end of the day sometimes. And he absolutely loves it.
Brilliant.
He loves it. And he's really good at it as well. So it'd be something nice to do. Because you do a family one as well, don't you?
Yeah. And I think to do it together, it's such a lovely shared experience because the kids are mindful anyway. You know, they're present, they're authentic, aren't they? They're themselves. And then they get the inhibitions and all the judgment and stuff. But they can teach us so much about presence, can't they?
Yeah.
And it's a lovely thing to do together. I mean, and it builds resilience. And I mean, Hudson is getting to that age where he's like, ugh. But then when he does calm down, he does do it. He knows it's working. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done it on his own in his bedroom, you know? So it's.
Yeah,
it's great for kids and teenagers. They're actually going to teach mindfulness in schools, targeting kids that they think are in gangs to build empathy and compassion.
Because we've got a project in our work. It's called Thinking Space. It's run by the Tavistock. So it's a safe space for young people to talk about things that affect them.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be mixed, it doesn't have to be gender specific, it doesn't have to be anything. There's like lots of splinter groups that happen. And it's clinically, so I mean you have somebody who leads it, but it's more or less run by the people that are in the group. And it can be a group of two or three or four, but a much bigger group. But we've found cohorts of really disengaged residents have found this the most useful, and young people now we're going to offer it to young people because who are on the periphery of gang-related crime. As a way of them being able to talk about, say, family issues, overcrowding in houses or flats or apartments, things about, you know, finances and money. Yeah. There's so many things that it's really good for, but I do really like the sort of thinking space idea. Yeah. Mm. It's safe.
Excellent.
Yeah. It's non-judgmental.
Yeah.
And that's so important. It's so important for young people to feel like someone's listening to them in a safe environment. And you think, how many problems would be solved if they could just have someone to talk to?
Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah, because their family might not be in a position to do that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Mental health well-being is really important.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely. So how did you get into it all then? Because you said you were a singer and a dancer.
Yeah.
She wasn't a stripper.
What's that?
She wasn't a stripper.
All right.
Definitely wasn't a stripper. Well, I did get kicked out of Stringfellows once.
Oh, really?
Why?
I was snogging someone. Can you imagine? I was snogging someone in Stringfellows.
Not where you've got these
naked. Absolutely not. And not one of the strippers. And then I got kicked out. It really made me laugh, the irony. It's like all these sexy ladies, half naked, and then I'm like in the corner having a private little snog and had to leave.
The Hannah that I know, see? That's the Hannah that I know and love. Go on, girl.
Never went back there.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I when I was a professional dancer and I was doing some teaching within a college, I was working with adults with Down syndrome and learning difficulties, I put on a little performance. I did like a little drama and dance show. And I think I had an injury and I wasn't dancing for a while at that time. Anyway, so I got into education in that way. And then later on, I was also a carer for a while between some other dance contracts. I had a boyfriend who had a mentally and physically disabled sister and she had live-in carers. And I was with this guy on and off for about 7 years. When I was younger, he was also a performer. And I used to spend a lot of time with his sister and loved looking after her and used to chat to these carers. And they were saying that you can do a week on, a week off. And because I'd had experience with people with disabilities, I did some training. And then I would do a dance contract. And rather than working in a bar or working as a waitress and rubbish tips and working my nuts off, I would do a week on living in with somebody you know, extreme kind of physical disabilities and sometimes mental. And then I'd have a week off to audition. And then I'd go back and earn good money.
Oh, wow.
So it really kind of worked.
Wow.
And because I've got an abundance of empathy and compassion for people and just my mother, who had run a department in a college for special needs teenagers, she'd kind of got me into that line of work. So I started doing care work then, and then I did some mental health training, and then with the mindfulness and meditation training, and then once getting into all the yoga and everything, I started working in a college with adults with mental illness that were unable to work, and about 18 adults in one class that had a variety from psychosis, depression, schizophrenia, autism, agoraphobic, you know, lots of different types of mental health problems. And mindfulness was really helping them, getting that headspace. And and then obviously went into the kind of mindfulness consultancy stuff and training. And so, yeah, it's always been a passion. Mental well-being has always been a passion. And then I've been around addiction. And I don't feel like I've struggled massively myself with my mental health, but on and off there have been times when I think I was younger and I was very dramatic and I was in the dance industry and I could not handle my emotions at all. For a few years I didn't have the tools. I used to get swallowed up by overthinking, that inner voice and not being able to calm myself down, or with relationships. And I think a lot of my 20s were quite uncontrollable emotionally in that way. But yeah, so that kind of led me, it's all kind of come into one
path to go down.
Yeah.
It's so nice to do something to help people, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I've always had that as a passion. It's so rewarding, you know, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I say it to get paid for it because I think the nice thing about it is that you're at home with Hudson. You can pick him up from school. You're helping people. You're sort of financially stable on your own.
Yeah.
It's like it brings so many different levels of satisfaction.
Yeah.
Where do you see this going then, Hannah?
I mean, you know, I really want to grow the business. I want to be able to then employ people that are doing the training along with me. I want it to go further. Now that I've adapted it all onto the computer and digital, I want it to be able to be anywhere in the world, you know. I think to have someone there tangible in front of you adds something. But the way that they've adapted, they've worked well, and it suits some people to not be in a meeting room. So I just want to keep creating the courses, keep training and researching myself and developing myself, because obviously we can never learn enough, can we, especially with a subject like this. And just keep progressing. I love the public speaking. I love doing things like that. There's a there's another one coming up that was also cancelled, the Women in Tech Festival.
Yeah.
And as we're speaking at that in I think November, it's going to be on now. Just try and get into different industries and just keep sharing the wisdom of, you know, being mindful, being present, and just really awakening into your life, because I think life goes so fast and you don't know what's around the corner. And I think when I lost my mum a couple of years ago, 3 years ago now, that kind of propels you into the present moment, doesn't it? You're like, whoa. Yes. And then you don't want it just to be when there's a drama for you to be a really, okay, life is precious. You want to be like that all the time. And we're all travelling through time together, and it goes fast. And I think to really arrive and fully show up in your life, rather than it being a bit of a daze or a chore or stressful.
Yeah.
And it's just being able to manage it, isn't it? Because I think it's quite naive to think, not naive, because that sounds a little bit judgmental, but just we need tools, because life is not easy. Regardless of how much money you've got or how much support network you've got. And I think being a single parent or a co-parent, it's really helped me to know that if you do these things, Hannah, you're going to find things easier. If you neglect all of that, be prepared to feel a little bit more emotionally, you know, needy or weaker. But if you do these things that you've learned and that you know work for you, you've got this.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that, you know, like as you get older, your mechanisms and your tools change over time.
Definitely.
I was probably very much like you, very dramatic, very much the centre of attention. but I've noticed I'm very comfortable in my own space. I don't have to have people around me anymore. Whereas before that, honestly, I could not be in a house on my own for more than 12 hours. Now I actually really like the fact that I could be on my own. You know, if Idris goes to stay with his dad or to his cousins, I quite enjoy that space. And then it's dealing with really difficult situations and how you deal with them.
Yeah.
So you build up different tools. And I found that I'm less volatile than I was maybe 5 years ago. So progressing into, I guess, you know, another phase in your life. I mean, I've seen lots of things about women going into the menopause, for instance, and how it changes your moods and how it changes who you are as a person. And I think that's quite interesting, because I don't want to get to a stage where my mum was a bit shouty, and she can be a bit shouty. I don't want to get to that stage. I want to deal with it before and be very aware of how I speak to people and how I affect people, rather than just, oh, well, I don't care and it doesn't matter to me, because it really does.
But you're already winning on that, because you're aware of that before it's happened, aren't you? So you'll be aware of it if it does.
Yeah, if you get shouted at.
That's it, because you're right, it's constantly reviewing and renewing, isn't it? Like, what's working? And now I might have, you know, we're evolving, aren't we, all the time, and we're changing. And so you're right, it is that kind of, am I maybe getting more like this, or do I need to pull back in here? Do I need to work on that a little bit more? And because we can just catch ourselves out sometimes and think, that didn't seem like me. I don't want to be the person that does that.
No.
But you can't also be really hard on yourselves because we go through these, like, you know, we go through different challenges, don't we? And it's life can get really intense. And you're always, you do have to give yourself those props and that self-love and go, hang on, let me just kind of go over what I've been doing well at and not just dwell on the, oh, I let myself down there. Or
yeah. Well, it's like with, you know, when you said earlier about, you know, you had a big contract and then lockdown and then you had to, you know, you had to sort of homeschool Hudson and you had to say to him, you know, don't interrupt me for 2 hours and how you're really proud of him. And we do, you know, if things didn't go well in that week, I don't know, your child, you shouted at your kids or you shouted at somebody, you did something, it didn't quite go to plan.
Mm.
We are hard on ourselves because that's human nature, isn't it?
Definitely. And I think as well, when you're not in a partnership, I mean, I guess mothers do it all the time, even when they are in a partnership, but I feel like when you're out there on your own, sometimes feeling like you have to have your own back.
Yeah.
You have to be even more aware of keeping that kind of self-belief and being kind to yourself, don't you? Because you haven't got someone else who's going, come here, love. Oh, no, you're doing really well. You're the greatest mum. No. Come on, don't be silly. So you're just like doubting and feeling. I mean, you never feel so much guilt, do you, about yourself until you're a parent. And then you second guess. And then you feel guilty because you said this in the wrong tone of voice. And then you might have done something that you're not proud of, saying, oh, what? So it's constantly having to say, you're doing really well.
Yeah.
And it's not easy out here, you know. It's not easy for parents in couples and it's not easy for parents on their own. And everyone's just trying to do the best, aren't they? No one's perfect.
Yeah.
But being aware of it, like you say, you're always kind of pulling yourself up and just making sure that I'm checking myself all the time to try and be a better mum, better person. Just,
And a better environment for me and Idris, I think it is as well. That's the really important thing you have to have some difficult conversations, you have to do some difficult things, but it's a happy home, it's a happy environment. Mm. It's, you know, it's conducive to whatever I'm doing and whatever he's doing, because it's not, I'm not, you know, the head of this household. It's a partnership.
Yeah.
Even if it's your child who's six.
Yeah.
You know, without him doing, you know, we're getting him to do chores now. Yeah. Hilarious. But,
how's that going?
Do you know what? I asked him to wash up. I thought I'd have no plates left. He's pretty good. Hoovering, I mean, he nearly broke my hoover because he leant on it so hard. But just things like that, it's like a harmonious household.
Yeah.
And just trying to get to that level. But
it's good to get them aware of the fact that these are things that you have to do in everyday life. And I think the earlier you get realise that, the better for them.
Because
it just prepares them.
And boys as well.
Mm. I definitely want my son to be someone that knows how to cook a meal and that knows that, you know, the recycling needs to be done and that you have to be a part of the household and not just leave it to the women. Because so many men are useless.
Yeah.
And then they just go, oh, you do it so much better than me, I'll just let you do it. And then women go, well, I'd rather just do it myself. Yeah.
Yeah.
And as mothers, you have to make them ready, don't you, to live on their own, but also to be that partner or that husband that helps out.
Yeah.
And that's a quality that you want for yourself anyway, because it's nice when you do something for yourself and not have to rely on other people to do it for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Hannah, lastly, before we finish off, could you give us, come on then, take us down a meditation.
Should we do a couple of minutes?
Yeah, I think we should. Don't you think we should?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That'd be quite important.
Sit with your back straight and have your feet flat on the ground. And I'll invite you to close your eyes if you would like to. And just notice for a moment the facial muscles as you breathe in and breathe out. And if the eyelids feel slightly tense, just relax the eyelids and the jaw. Remember, the tongue is also a muscle, so just relaxing the tongue, releasing the jaw. Allow the arms to hang a little bit heavier. Take a slightly deeper breath in, and as you exhale, release any tension from the shoulders down to the arms, the wrists, and the hands. And just coming to the hips and the legs and just releasing any tension in the legs. Taking a slightly deeper breath. And as you exhale, take that breath all the way down the legs into the ground. Just imagine growing roots down from the feet into the earth. Mother Earth protecting and supporting. And remembering that we can take natural resources from the earth to nourish, bring energy. And as you take a few more breaths, just notice how the body feels. Whether the mind is calm or whether it feels busy, with no judgment. And just sending some self-gratification, some self-love. Just knowing that you're doing well, you are enough, and that you should be proud. Three slightly deeper breaths, inhaling, expanding the lungs, really breathing into the tummy. Exhale, inhaling, exhaling, sitting tall, sitting proud. Inhaling and exhaling, and just to end, a little mantra. I am here in my body. I am alive. I am awake. I am here in my body. I am alive. I am awake. I am here in my body. I am alive. I am awake. And when you're ready, slowly opening the eyes. Little shoulder roll. How'd you feel?
Well, I like that.
It was very, it's like the end of yoga, like yoga nidra.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just kept hearing your belly.
Someone hungry.
And you kept making me laugh.
I like your voice, Hannah. I could listen to it all. You've got an amazing voice.
Do you do any online yoga? Have you got any yoga classes online?
I've got a few at the moment online. Because I've been doing some outdoor ones now. I've become quite slack with the online ones. It's all the family quizzes, isn't it? Dominating. Yeah. joking. But I, I'm going to start doing some more online and whacking them onto Facebook and getting some meditations. In the next week or so, I'm going to be recording some more meditations.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. We'll share everything.
We'll share everything. Oh, that was
that
really...
was really lovely. That Thank was you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
So, we will share everything. We'll make sure we get everything out.
Definitely. And well done to you as well. I don't know you so much, Amy. After today, I would love to know you more. But I've always been in awe of you and looked up to you and your journey as well. And you are just such a superwoman and a complete boss. And I just think you're amazing. So,
yes.
Oh, well, do you know what's really nice is to be surrounded by women who respect each other and who feel like they inspire each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started this podcast, you know, like, that, you know, having somebody like you on is so important to us because you just give a completely different feeling to everybody else, and it's really nice to get your story out there.
Yeah.
And that's what our podcast is all about. Yes, it's, you know, very much driven by being single parents or co-parenting, but I think every woman's story is very different and very powerful.
Yeah,
that's it.
Very powerful.
Definitely.
So thank you.
Yes, thank you. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much.
I'm not sure if the cats and the dogs and the other animals heard that noise, Amy. What was that?
That was my, when you, at the end of yoga, they go,
No, you did something before it.
Then, I'm like,
you did some kind of, I don't know, singy-songy. You got back to your roots then, didn't you, Amy?
Got back to my roots.
After that meditation.
That reminded me of when we had our lovely holiday in Spain last year and we went and did that yoga class, the yoga teacher came round with like a gong thing that she did next to your head. She whacked Sarah in the head with it.
Oh, yeah, she did, didn't she?
It was so funny because it was all really relaxing and you just had this lovely noise and then you just heard this, oops! And Sarah started laughing. Oh, it was funny.
Oh, she would. I love little Sarah.
Yeah. Hannah would never do anything like that in her yoga classes.
No,
whacking around the head
not.
With a gong.
Definitely not. She would definitely not do that. But she'd have a good meditation with you.
Yes. That was lovely, yes. Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really nice. Really nice to hear her. Really nice to be... really nice to have somebody like that on. I think it's a really yes. good moment to reflect on the last 4 months. And, you know, okay, I guess keep a check on where we all are mentally.
Yeah.
And physically. And how we take on this next... sort of challenge, like for us,
yeah.
it's going to be very different because, you know, school's out. I mean, and everybody will have different approaches to how they cope with school holidays. But
yeah,
it is a really good time to reflect. And I think Abby, you know, we do these sessions in the morning at the gym, and Abby always says about like just spending some time doing something that's for you, and it's really,
yeah.
it is really important. And I do take that 8 o'clock session as my time to do
yeah.
something for me.
Definitely.
But I would really like to try and do a bit of, you know, meditation or just a bit of something that keeps me a bit grounded. I quite like the
yeah.
thought of that.
It's good. I love it. I absolutely love it. I want to do more.
Yeah, you do. You love your yoga, don't you?
Love my yoga.
Love
it. It makes you feel good.
Well, our mothers love yoga.
Yeah.
Babs
they
and
do.
Twin.
Yeah.
They both love it. And they're both over 70 and they're both yogis.
Yes. And very fit and fun.
Fit fillies they are.
Yes, they are.
Definitely.
Lovely. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, get in touch. Mum and Mum Pod.
Subscribe.
And review us. I've had a little look. We've had some reviews and we've had a couple of 2-star reviews.
What?
Well, actually, I don't know how many. There's like loads of like 5-star and then like a couple like 4, 3 and 2. It's like, why would you give someone like a 2-star? Why would
you
go out your way to do
star?
That?
Do you know, remember 5-star?
They're from Romford.
Are they?
Where I was born, yeah.
I thought you were born
loved
in Basildon.
5-star. No, I moved to Basildon when I was 6.
I love 5-star.
Yeah, come on,
yeah. Give us a couple
of 5-stars. Yeah, shove
them
2-stars up their
asses.
Work.
Yes.
Definitely, I agree.
Yeah. Lovely, we hope you enjoy it. Give us your feedback and we'll see you next week.
Work.
Toodaloo.
Bye.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.